This is the School Success Podcast, a podcast for school leaders to learn from other school leaders what's working and what's not, and to get inspiration and encouragement, as well as strategies to grow school enrollment, connect with families, retain teachers, recruit teachers, and everything in between. You guys are heroes, and I cannot thank you enough for pouring into this next generation that's coming behind us. My goal is you will take at least one thing away from every episode that you can take back to your school to make it better than it is right now. Please enjoy the School Success Podcast. Hey, School Success Makers, welcome to another edition of the School Success Podcast. I'm your host, Mitchell Slater. I'm joined by a new friend out of Fayetteville, Pennsylvania, Mr. Todd Klein. And he's a recovering superintendent guy. So he's retired, but doing some consulting as well. And I got connected with him through another friend of mine. And when I heard about his background and some of the things he knew, I was like, oh, he'd be a great one to come on and teach a new thing that we've never had talked about on the School Success Podcast before. So he's going to do that here in just a minute. And real quick, I do want to comment on my voice, guys. If you're hearing my voice sounding weird, yes, it does sound weird because I woke up 2 or 3 days ago and my voice was gone. And I'm slowly getting it back. And so you guys get to hear that, unfortunately, for the episode today. But I think it's just allergies or I'm fighting a cold or something. But just bear with me on that one. But before we dive into the nitty-gritty of the content, I'm going to pass it off to Todd to introduce himself. So, Todd, welcome to the podcast today.
Hey, thank you, Mitchell. As you said, my name's Todd Klein. I was former superintendent of the Waynesboro Area School District. I was superintendent here in Pennsylvania in two other districts, Susquehanna Township in Harrisburg, and then the Southern Huntingdon County School District in a neighboring county here in Pennsylvania.
Awesome, man. Well, before we dive into the actual content we're going to talk about today, obviously want to thank you for all your years of service and education. I appreciate that very, very much. And also, if I was to ever visit Fayetteville, Pennsylvania, I always ask this question: what would you say, Mitchell, you got to do this to have the full Fayetteville experience, or eat this, do this? What would be those things?
Wow, that's a good question. I actually don't spend much time in Fayetteville. It's kind of a bedroom community. I spend more time in Waynesboro, probably, which is where I was superintendent at. But my first thing would say, we're only a few minutes from Gettysburg, so you need to go to Gettysburg. Okay. And there are great places over there to eat and to visit. And it's a great place to learn a little bit about our American history.
Perfect. All right. I got it. Well, hey, diving in, obviously, you've been in education for a long time. And I know the thing you wanted to specifically talk about today was a big piece of how you helped run a district like you had. I don't know kind of where you want to start, but maybe let's get your background. Let's do maybe that first of like how you got to being retired and doing consulting now, for how long you've been in education, and we'll kind of go in from there.
All right. Well, I've been in education for just generally in education about 40 some years. However, in public education for about 36, I started as a teacher, as a music teacher. I published two books a number of years ago, back in 1997 and 2000 through Prentice Hall. I think it's through Pearson Publications. You can find them on Amazon. So, but anyhow, I started as a music teacher, got into being a administrator, and worked my way up through as being a superintendent. And actually, prior to being in education, I was a musician. That's why I went the music teacher route. So, and the last few years, or this past year, I retired about a year ago. In the past year, I've been working for a company that deals with behavioral and mental health services for schools. And they asked me to come on as a superintendent representative to help promote their programs. We saw some significant improvements by using their programs in Waynesboro. Actually, we saw as much as a 70 to 80% drop in office referrals in one of our elementary schools. Wow. Due to that program. So when you do that, you start seeing educational improvements in the classroom when those other distractions are not there. So anyhow, that's sort of a little bit of background about me.
I love it. I love it. Well, you wanted to talk about this method that you guys use. Tell me a little bit about this method we're going to talk about today.
Well, the Baldrige Excellence framework, it started back in the 80s. The Japanese motor or automobile industry was being kind of transformed by Dr. Edward Deming. And Deming put a lot of systems, processes, and strategic planning into what they were doing, a way to measure improvement and continue improvement. And that's really performance excellence, is ongoing improvement. And in this country, back in the 1980s, there was a commerce secretary called Malcolm Baldrige. And under him, this program was started basically to improve manufacturing and business and other organizations in this country. So at that point, they had come up with various, different sectors of organizations like business, manufacturing, healthcare, nonprofit, governmental, and schools. And there have been many in all those different sectors to take on this program. The program is sort of, it's in designed to be sort of an award program. You can go through the whole application process, answer the criteria in the framework, and apply, and you would have different evaluators, and not evaluators, but different people come in and look at your application, and they would make a determination on various points and such. And if you reach the amount of points, you become a nationally recognized organization. The Ritz-Carlton is one that is going through the process, use these strategies. I think the Price Waterhouse, a big accounting firm, has done that. As far as schools, the Montgomery County Public School System used the Baldrige back in the around 2008, 9, 10, 11, somewhere around there. I don't know if they're using that strategy as much anymore. And then out in Pewaukee School District outside of Milwaukee, they've used it. There have been quite a few, some even one up in Alaska. North Carolina has a national winner. But you can go that route, or you can also just use their strategies. It's made, the framework is made up of seven categories, and those categories have various criteria under them, or questions or areas they want you to look at that you have to respond to. And the categories are basically, begins with leadership, strategy, customer, measurement, evaluation, analysis is the fourth one. The fifth one is your workforce. The sixth one is operations. And the seventh one, which is the biggest one, carries the most weight, are results. So all of those have various questions and criteria under those categories. And, if you're looking at strategy, it may ask you, what your mission, vision, and vision and values are. And how, and it wants to know what's the system you use to come about determining that. So it's really about systems and processes throughout your organization, almost like an internal machine. So that's an overall view of what it is. You can find a lot under the NIST, or the National Institute of Standards and Technology. You can find it there, or you can just Google Baldrige Excellence Program, and it will come up with a lot of various resources.
Awesome.
That's a little bit of a start.
Yeah, I love that. So I'd love to hear how you guys use it at your district, and how you kind of you heard about it, and then you're like, hey, let's do this. Did you start at kind of like the C-suite level, if you will, in the education space of like all just the principals doing it? Maybe is there a personal aspect to it, or is it generally the whole school does it together at one time? Hey, School Success Makers, just a really quick break from the episode to highlight our amazing sponsors over at America's Christian Credit Union. They are celebrating 65 years of service this year, and they provide essential school banking services and a tuition financing program for schools looking to reduce their risk and administrative burden. And you guys can find out all about them on their website, americaschristiancu.com/schools. That's americaschristiancu.com/schools. They are amazing over there, and I always like to say, if you're a school that collects tuition and you have a hard time collecting all of tuition at the end of the year, maybe it comes around May, June, you're like, man, we only got collected 95 or 98% of what tuition was owed to our school. One of the things you can do is have your parents get a tuition financing loan through the credit union, and then they pay the credit union directly, and you get your funds up front at the beginning of the year as the school. So you don't have to chase people throughout the year, and you can focus on what you do best, and that is loving and educating your students. And it doesn't cost your school anything to do it. So check them out online, americaschristiancu.com/schools. All right, back to the show.
Well, it's almost like boiling a frog. You know, you have to turn the heat up slowly or it's going to hop right out of the hot water. So you make those changes usually without the organization really knowing that you're making those changes. And basically what you do, you know, you want a strategic plan. You want to be more strategic. You have your strategic plan that has your strategic objectives and such, how you're going to measure them. You know, what is the measurement you're going to stand by to make sure you've reached those goals? And, you know, who's responsible and by when, things like that. But also, you know, and that's one of the things you can do first is really focus on strategy. And that's what we did. We really took the strategy part of it, focused on it. And then we also started to focus on leadership, you know, of where we're going, what is our mission, what is our vision, and so forth, and really living by the values that we would set. One of the values, which is also one of Baldrige's values, is managing by fact. So in order to manage by fact, you have to make sure you're getting clear data, you're measuring whatever you're doing, and are able to articulate. As I mentioned before, we had a particular program we were using, and we were able to cut our office referrals, our student discipline in that building, by over 70%. Well, that was, we were managing by fact. We were able to go back, and it's actually closer to 80%. But that is, you know, what Baldrige would promote. And we also used it to, you know, again, help pull our district together to focus on the customer. And education, we don't like using that term. We want to use student. But really, it is about the stakeholders, the student, the parent, a teacher is a stakeholder. Any employee is a stakeholder, but also the community. And that's where our, you know, commitment should lie. And you measure everything that, you know, you measure and you plan everything around what's best for that student. And I think that is what has helped us through this Baldrige approach.
So the schools that are listening right now and they're hearing about this, maybe hearing about it for the first time, because that was me. I was hearing about it for the first time. Never heard of Baldrige. Those that are listening and going, wait, what is this? How can I use this? How is it going to make my school better? What's the time commitment, the financial commitment, do any of those kind of details, but kind of like give a school that's listening going, wait, what is this and how can I use this to help better my school?
Well, that's a good question. Baldrige is a nonprofit organization. It is a governmental, it's through the Chamber of Commerce. And like I said, you can find a lot of things under NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, but it is out there as a tool to help organizations. And it is actually listed as one of the school improvement methods recognized by the U.S. Department of Education. Certain states do not recognize it because I'm not sure they're aware of it as much or know enough about it. But the U.S. Department of Ed does recognize it as a method of ongoing improvement. And that's really the bottom line. This is to help improve constantly. One of the documents I sent you was our leadership model in Waynesboro. And basically, it is a process for ongoing improvement. You determine the needs of your organization, which is at the top. It's like at 12 o'clock. And then you come up with solutions or ways to approach it. Then you put it into a plan. You implement the plan. You review. You measure what is being successful. You don't just measure the end, the post-mortem part, you know, after it's over. You measure the process along the way. You measure those processes, because if not, you can't make the adjustments halfway through if you need to make those adjustments. And then you celebrate and you move on to, again, by the time you get back up to the top, you celebrate and review what you have and what needs to be improved. And then you start the whole process over. And if you can get your whole organization from the classroom up to the central office and the school board using that same system of improvement, you're going to see some, ongoing improvement just by the fact that you're planning ongoing improvement.
Is that a long process from the start, like starting it to like, quote unquote, I mean, do you finish it, or you're always using it forever?
You're always using it forever. It depends on what you're doing of how long it will last. To give you an example, in one district, we used something very similar, and we wanted to improve attendance in our school district. And what we did, we went through, developed some ideas and how we wanted to approach it, put the plan in place, and went back, and we were measuring it. The attendance was improving. That was a big celebration. However, probably just the following year, maybe not even the following year, I think maybe at the end of the year, we were seeing a drop at the high school. One of the secretaries keeping the data noticed the drop in attendance at the high school. But because we were measuring part of the process, we found that there were family, part of the process were the family meetings after so long, and they weren't happening. So without those meetings happening, again, that data came up. The secretary noticed it, notified the assistant principal or the principal. They notified, it went through its process to let everybody know. What we found had happened, and we ended up having to change the process to improve it, which is okay. We had taken the person who ran that program, moved them, because they were very good at what they did, we moved them into an administrative position as a principal. And when they filled the position, they had guidance counselors filling it. And that's fine to do that work. But they didn't know the process completely. So we failed in an area. So that's where the excellence parts come in, where you keep reviewing that to find out where are the niches, what's keeping you from being excellent. And right there was a little dent in the cog that told us, here's an area we need to improve so we can get that cog moving again and improving attendance. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's really what Baldrige can help you do.
And is it something, Todd, that you hire somebody from the nonprofit organization to help you implement and use it? Or does one person go get training and then bring it back to their school and to implement it and use it?
You can do it a lot of ways. I think when I first started, I was doing it on my own. I tried to get some volunteers of various stakeholders to work on it with me at my first school. The second school actually brought in a consultant who had worked with Caterpillar Financial. She worked with the U.S. Army, MedRad, a health organization, and she had a lot of, she actually had a national winner, so she knew what she was doing. And she was a former executive of American Express, so she had a pretty good idea how this worked. So we did bring her in. That was the only cost, was just using her. There is a cost to going through the application process, but it's the cost of just going through that whole process. And if you bring in a set of examiners that look at what you're doing, if they do a site visit and they'll come in, you'll fill out an application. If you go the application route, you would fill out an application, and what you would do, they would judge it. They would look at it, not judging, but they would go through looking at the criteria. Again, they're examiners, not judges. And if you meet that criteria, then they would come to a site visit. And if all goes well and you meet the point standards, you're nationally recognized. But if not, they give you a lot of feedback. And even the national winners still have a lot they need to work on, because the program is about ongoing improvement.
Okay, got it.
And you can do this without even going that route. You can read the criteria and continuously go back trying to look, are we doing this well? And I mean, the criteria will include things like, succession planning. Do you have a succession plan in place? And it's more than just knowing who's going to take over whose job. It's about knowing, do you have things in place to help train people who are interested in moving that? You know, so it's very comprehensive. There's a lot more to it than just, a short answer.
And then those school leaders that are listening right now, just kind of speaking into you guys, and Todd, obviously you feel free to share this too, is like, you guys, if you don't yet have systems and processes in place for that, like, you need that. Like, I just, what you just said, shared there, Todd, for like the, what happens if you were to pass away tomorrow or you were to leave, like, you want to leave the school better than you found it. So you want to make sure there's things in place to make sure that the next person coming in is not like starting from scratch at ground zero, figuring out, what are those things I need to figure out, and what do I need to do? And so, like, I'm a big fan of not reinventing the wheel, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And so maybe you're a school that's going just smooth sailing. It's great. You know, I'm sure there's always ways to, make yourself better, but don't try and reinvent make your own thing. Like a place like Baldrige or some of these others that are out there. We're not even saying you have to go with Baldrige. It's just, Todd was like, hey, we liked it, we used it, and I'll share about it with our school. But like, find something that you guys can use to implement to make your school better. Obviously, that's what this podcast is for. We want you guys making your school better and making yourself better than you were yesterday. And we see this as one of those opportunities and one of those ways. Todd, I guess anything to say on that side? Just kind of my little rant. Hey, school success makers, just a really quick break to highlight one of our amazing sponsors, and that is ClassReach. Now, ClassReach supports schools of all sizes from application to graduation. Take charge of your school with ease, power, and mobility using ClassReach, the school management software administrators and teachers love using. You can get your free demo at classreach.com. That's classreach.com. They are amazing people, and they provide this amazing SIS software for you to keep track of your students' grades, communicating with families that are enrolled, and a whole bunch more. So again, check it all out on their website, classreach.com. They are awesome. All right, now back to the show.
Yeah, actually, the reason that I went and used, I was trained as an examiner, as a regional examiner with it started out as Keystone Alliance, and then I went, it's the Mid-Atlantic now, but there are different groups across the nation that are smaller groups, which will help you prepare for the national group if you decide to do that. But it's more local, it's closer, face-to-face people, again, nonprofit, but there are smaller organizations that you can get involved with. But having said that, the reason I wanted to be part of the Baldrige Performance Excellence is because it is recognized by business, by manufacturing, by healthcare. When you look at programs like Blue Ribbon Schools, they're great programs, but people sometimes in the business world and school boards will look at that differently than what they look at a Baldrige program, which is accepted, and it's very similar to the expectations to, a business, like I said, or a manufacturing organization or a nonprofit. But it sets very high standards in what you're expected to accomplish. You just try to chip off each one of those little criteria in the book. And you can get that book. You can, again, Google Baldrige Performance Excellence, and you can get into the organization, and you can actually get a specific framework book that has framework questions or the criteria that are fit for education. And because there's a book for each sector. Okay. And they're very similar questions, because I've been on a national team for communities of excellence, which is kind of like a sister organization of Baldrige, but they look at, or they look at like states and towns and cities, and they go through the same process. But you know, if you get that book, it has all the questions in there, and you may not be able to answer them all because they're pretty tough sometimes thinking in their terms.
So if a school is listening, what would be a piece of advice that you would give them for like this specific thing right now, like to read the book first, to watch a YouTube video on it? Obviously they're listening to this podcast right now and learning about it, but what would you kind of give them some next steps?
Certainly, you know, get on the website, look it up, find out more about it, get the book. And the other things, really start focusing on strategic planning. Make sure you're living your mission, vision, and values. Make sure you start measuring things, manage by fact, measure what you're trying to accomplish, measure systems, measure your key work processes and away along the way. So, you know, what you're doing, the little bits and pieces of that process, measure those things that need to be measured, and analyze those things. And again, build systems and processes. And I think that will help you understand the Baldrige method and framework much better if you really focus on those things.
Were there some things that came out from doing Baldrige that like opportunities for your district or school member schools that came from being a Baldrige? Like when you finished it, you talked about like, it's businesses recognize it and stuff. Is there anything that came from that for your school district or your teachers?
As I said, school board members, depending where you're at, some of them recognize the Baldrige program, or they like the fact that you're managing by fact, yet that you're using an approach that a major business like a Boeing or some other corporation is using, or has used in the past. The 3M company out of Minnesota, they use it. They are very Baldrige oriented, or have been in the past. And a lot of people on school boards that are business oriented usually can tie to that pretty well. And I can tell you that even in Waynesboro, I think our community understood a lot what we were trying to do, even quicker than some of our members of our school, just because they could relate to some of the things we were trying to do.
Very cool. Well, as we kind of wrap up the episode, Todd, I would love you to share any final thoughts, tips, strategies, anything, even if it's not Baldrige related, if you had anything from all your years in education, if you had to say it, anything to the school leaders listening, what would you want to tell them?
Boy, again, I would always be very open, you know, be very, very transparent with what you do. When you have a strategy or you're doing whatever you're doing, take it on the road. That means go to the Rotary Clubs, go to the Lions Clubs, all the different organizations. Really build a relationship between them, but show them what you're doing. Get ahead of the curve. Don't wait for people to come to you and attack what you're doing. Go out and show them what you're doing. The other thing is build relationships and partnerships with as many organizations as you can. That has helped us in Waynesboro and other areas to really build those relationships with Head Start, with early childhood programs, with the YMCA, with your local borough or city people, your township supervisors, your state officials. Get to know them, but build those relationships, because those partnerships can lead to a lot of, you know, positive things. And, you know, that's probably my biggest advice to anybody out there, you know, working in a school or leading a school. And again, be very transparent, but get the information out, get people to know who you are, and learn all the realtors, because they usually know more about why people are buying houses in your area and how good the schools are.
That's good. It's all about who you know. That's a big piece of that for sure.
It is. It is.
Cool. Todd, thank you for taking time to be on the podcast today and for all those years, 40 something years, you said, of education and pouring into students and faculty members. I appreciate that. I know that's a tall order and a high order, but I thank you for all those years of service. I hope you enjoy retirement and a little bit of consulting you get to do for fun to keep you busy. And hopefully our paths will cross. If I'm ever up in Pennsylvania, we can go get something to eat together when I'm up in maybe in the Fayetteville area.
Sounds good. I appreciate it, Mitchell. And one organization I want to plug that I think is coming along that are trying to do some good things in education, it's called the Noah Webster Foundation. And they are trying to do a lot of work with school boards and others to help them, train school board members to know what they're doing and so forth. So I'm just going to throw that plug out there, if that's okay.
Of course. Please do. Please. Well, hey, thank you again. And look forward to chatting with you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Well, another huge shout out and a thank you to Todd for taking time and being on the podcast today. I love that his background is in education. He's been doing this for a long time, and I hope he enjoys his retirement, but obviously just thankful for him to give of his time to come back and share some things that he learned in all his years of service in the space. And hopefully you guys, as always, are able to take some of these things, or at least one thing, back to your school to make it better than it is right now. Hoping that was able to happen on today's episode. All right, guys. Well, we always say this, we have three free resources for you guys that we want you to make sure you're taking advantage of. And the first one is our School Success Report. You can find it on our website, schoolsuccessmakers.com. Top right corner, click on School Success Report. Get that email to you every single week with great articles, tips, tricks, as well as some giveaways we're eventually going to be doing in there. We want to make sure you don't miss out on those. So be getting that to your inbox. The next one is our Facebook group called School Success Makers, free private group just for school leaders. I'm personally in there. Would love to see you in there as well. Feel free to ask questions and connect with other teachers from across the country and as well as the world, because there are actually people outside the United States on there. But go join that Facebook group. And then the third and final one is the one you're listening to right now, the podcast. It is free, and it is every week we're releasing new episodes. If you guys have comments, suggestions, or anything for the podcast, please let us know those. You can send those through our website, schoolsuccessmakers.com. Or if you have suggested guests or you think you'd be a good guest that should be on the podcast, put that through there as well so we can see if you'd be a good fit or if somebody you know would be a good fit for the podcast. We're always looking for things like that. But I think that is all I got. So guys, we will be here next week with another awesome episode as usual on the School Success Podcast. We'll see you then.